Our guest in this segment is Tim Jeffreon, and he's written a book called The Spirit-Led Leader, and it's 9 leadership principles, practices, that is, and soul principles. And Tim, welcome to the program. It's so nice to speak with you and meet you today.
Kim, thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
We have had, Tim, by the way, is an ordained minister, and he served as church pastor, a seminary professor, executive director, and president of Family Hope Services, and he has a teaching ministry to leaders, offering biblical understanding, inspiration, and practical guidance for life and leadership. Lives in Deep Haven, Minnesota. Tim, we've been talking a lot on this program about the emerging church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the leading voices in that movement is Brian McLaren, who has an endorsement for your book.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is there's a new paradigm, I think, about how we share our faith. And basically, many of the voices in Emergent are talking about reaching out to youth, reaching out to people who are very wounded, reaching out to people turned off by the church. You are reaching out in a fresh way to leaders,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I would assume are people that are fairly well confirmed in their walk already.
Yes. The people that are going to be able to benefit most from what I've written are people that are Christians who are established as leaders, but it's not just for established leaders. It's someone who sees him or herself as a leader and wants to have influence over other people in a more profound way that really connects with what they believe is God's purpose for their life.
Mm. And so it could be the case too. Well, my story of having a position, not necessarily of leadership, but having a position and then coming to faith as an adult, there might be someone who is in leadership and now suddenly wants to try to add faith to it. There's a little bit of a challenge.
Oh, yeah. And it is a challenge. But I think that one of the most important things that I would want to emphasize is that spiritual leadership is not about just adding faith to what we're doing. It's about being transformed and then leading from the inside out.
Mm-hmm. Integrity, having it.
It's integrity, and it's about integration, so that our spiritual life, if you will, if you think of it as a fountain, gets fuller and fuller and fuller, so that it overflows and bubbles over into every aspect of our life, so that you can't separate out our spiritual life and faith from anything else that we do, including our leadership.
Someone has suggested on this program more than once, and more than one person maybe has suggested that this integration is perhaps it's a different process in men and women, that men may tend more to put different things in a box.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my dad hat on, I've got my boss hat on.
They're compartmentalized.
I've got my church hat on.
Mm-hmm.
So how does that integration work for a person that is living their life that way right now? It seems like there's probably a heart change that has to happen.
Well, honestly, that is the person that I have in mind, because I was one of them. And I'm a recovering compartmentalist. And every aspect of my life could easily be put into a different compartment. And it was possible for me to be one kind of person one time and another kind of person another time. And I'm not talking about moral and immoral. I'm talking about at one time having my devotions and feeling close to God and then stepping into a leadership role or a parenting role or a relational role and then all of a sudden being a different person.
Mm-hmm.
And that baffled me and frustrated me, especially as a Christian. I didn't like who that other person was sometimes. And so what I started to explore over the past, especially the last 10 years, was how could I be the same person everywhere I go? And how could this person who loves the Lord and who wants to serve the Lord and wants to love other people actually do that? Especially when it's difficult, or when I'm under a lot of pressure, or when we're behind in the budget, or when my kids aren't doing what I want them to do, or my wife isn't doing what I wish she would do. How can I still be a loving, gracious, spirit-filled man under those circumstances?
Mm. And I think what happens, and one of the things that we really strive for on this program, is to help people develop a biblical worldview, so that once you know what you're supposed to be as a person, what you're praying the Holy Spirit will transform you to,
mm-hmm.
Now suddenly all those other pieces maybe fall in place in a way that they might not have otherwise.
Well, you bring up an interesting point when you talk about one of our goals is to help Christians, meaning educators, pastors, leaders, help educate people to know what to do in terms of the Christian life. And that's an appropriate equipping, educating goal. But one of the weaknesses of that model, if that's all we say, is that people get a long list of things to do,
right,
but they don't feel any power to do it. And then they feel badly about themselves. Shame is a huge issue in our culture and in the church, because people have heard all these things they're supposed to be, but then they don't know how to be those things. And in their hearts, they want to be those things, but they don't know how to bridge the gap from where they are to where they want to get.
Power. That word has become a key to look for the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we're talking with Tim Jeffreon about the Spirit-led leader. If you have questions, comments, join us. 1-800-571-2755. 800-571-2755. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in this?
The role of the Holy Spirit is our source of our life. If we look at Galatians chapter 5 and we read about the fruit of the Spirit, those are all the qualities of life: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The Holy Spirit is God's presence within us to help us become and live more like God. And then the Holy Spirit also gifts us with particular gifts and abilities that He blesses, so that as we seek to serve Him, whether it's as a teacher or as a leader or as a helper, a server, administrator, those efforts that we make, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, actually have the effect God intends. And so good things happen. People's lives are changed. People are encouraged. People are helped. People come to faith. People are strengthened in their faith. So the Holy Spirit is absolutely vital and essential to everything that we hope to do if we want our work to be fruitful for the kingdom of Christ.
So how do we have more of Him in our lives? I mean, I know how it's worked in my life. I know how, you know, I've heard testimonies of others. I've shared on this program before that, you know, a lot of us cut the Holy Spirit out of the deal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes He's not preached very often in mm-hmm. some of our churches, but also, you know, many of us don't even know we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, much mm-hmm. less how.
Mm-hmm. Probably the most important thing is to understand that God is actively in the business of communicating to us before we even think about communicating to Him. And that's what we call God's initiation. And God does that through the Holy Spirit. And so one of the things I write about in the book is, how do we learn to recognize that God is already initiating with us? We don't have to somehow set up our day to remember or somehow initiate conversation with God, and otherwise God's not present. It's actually the other way around. God's already initiating, contacting us. We just need to be ready to respond and to recognize that the little promptings and thoughts that we get are not our guilty consciences reminding us, oh, I guess I should have devotions, or I guess I should be praying. But it's actually God's loving call to us to say, hey, don't forget me. Remember me. I'm active in your life, and I'm trying to call you back so that you would be closer to me and in connection with me, in relationship with me in a vital way, so that I can empower you. So I guess another way to say what I'm saying is, at the core of a vital spiritual life is our relationship with God. And that relationship is something that is lived out on a daily basis, just as I would with my wife. I notice my relationship with my wife is definitely better when I spend time talking to her or spend time with her. And it's not just 5 minutes in the morning and then I'm good for the rest of the day with my wife. I look for other opportunities throughout the day to connect with her in
sure.
the evenings. Same thing with God.
You know, I'm curious if our listeners have experienced a change after baptism in the Holy Spirit. Maybe you'll talk a little bit about that, the theology, or just the truth of it, or the idea of baptism in the Holy Spirit, what God's Word has to say about it, and, you know, what the average person needs to know. Let me give the phone number to Tim so we can hear if our listeners have had a change in their spiritual walk after baptism in the Holy Spirit, or receiving the Holy Spirit in a dramatic way, or in a way that they, I don't think it's necessarily dramatic, but in a way that they could markedly say things were different before or after. Our number is 1-800-571-2755. I'd like to hear how the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart. 1-800-571-2755. What's your thought about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Well, Kim, I'm very glad that you're raising this issue, because it's a very important one. There is a certain segment of the Christian world that does report a very special, unusual experience with the Holy Spirit, a baptism of the Spirit, a special moment when they felt filled with the Spirit. They may speak in tongues, they may sense a special closeness to the Spirit. And
it's mentioned in Acts,
and
right?
It's certainly mentioned in Acts chapter 2 and other places. We have in Acts, there are examples where the Holy Spirit does work in an extraordinary sort of way. The kind of Spirit-filled leadership that I'm talking about does not require that special experience. Because one of the things I've noticed over the years is that there are countless numbers of people who feel like second-class citizens because they never had a special experience with the Holy Spirit. I even had my grandmother at age 80 on her deathbed, Christian for decades, wondering if she had really been filled with the Spirit. And that got me thinking, this was now almost 30 years ago, got me thinking, now what does it really mean to be filled with the Spirit if you don't have some special experience? And that's where I go to places like Galatians chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and recognize it's a quality of life. It's a quality of relationship. When God changes the way we think about ourselves and about God and about other people, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We are being filled with the Spirit. When I can move into the world and begin to view other people more through God's loving eyes and I become more eager to serve God and to make a difference in this world, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so I actually put less emphasis on the baptism of the Spirit and extraordinary experiences and put more emphasis on the daily walk. And the way you look at the evidence of the Spirit is you compare your life and your thoughts with the things you're reading in Scripture.
The circumcision of the heart rather than a ritual or an event.
Absolutely. It's a change of heart. And that's a lifelong process for our heart to be transformed. I think there are key moments. There have been many key moments that seem to be aha moments or life-changing, transformative moments. But I also think a lot of the transformation takes place in the midst of suffering, in the midst of difficulty, because it's then when my faith is really tested and when I'm in pain that I have to choose, am I going to look to God or am I going to despair or check out of spirituality altogether or just go through the motions, but in my heart I've grown cold. So those are critical times of growth if we let them be times of growth.
Tim Jeffreon is our guest, and he's written The Spirit-Led Leader with practices and principles to help each of us in our walk respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our number is 1-800-571-2755. If you'd like to join our conversation, please do. Love to hear about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life or your thoughts about baptism in the Holy Spirit and just what we've been discussing. Join us, 1-800-571-2755, here along the way. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, the neglected member of the Trinity, I think. He doesn't get nearly the press that the other two do. Tim Jeffreon is our guest. He's written The Spirit-Led Leader, and it's encompassing the principles and practices that can allow us to be led by the Holy Spirit in our leadership roles and just generally in our lives. Tim, we have a caller, and so let's go to the phones, and after that we're going to talk about, you know, how to really do this, some practical steps and some actual applications. Our number is 1-800-571-2755. I'd like to hear about your view of the Holy Spirit or perhaps how the Spirit has moved in your life or just your reaction to what you're hearing. 1-800-571-2755, our number. Larry is listening in St. Paul, KTIS AM 900. Hi, Larry. Go ahead, please.
Well, hi there. I've enjoyed the conversation. And I think my question focuses in on the whole definition of relationship. I think as Christians, we always talk about relationship, but what does it really look like, especially when it deals with the Holy Spirit?
That's a great question. Relationship, at the very beginning, I want to say relationship is about a connection between me and someone else. So if I think about a relationship with the Holy Spirit, a relationship with God, I'm assuming God's a personal being and I am, and somehow there's this connection between us that's meaningful, vital, it's alive. I'm assuming a good relationship here. We talk about relationship with the Holy Spirit. I would, first of all, caution you from making too big a distinction between the Holy Spirit and the other members of the Trinity, because the whole concept of Trinity is a bit of a mystery to us. What we know is we have God in three persons, and that the relationship we have with the Spirit is a way of talking about how the power of God and the person of God is active in our lives on a regular daily basis, whereas God the Father is typically thought of as the creator, the the one who is the Father of Jesus Christ and the Father of believers, and Jesus, of course, is our Lord and Savior.
I think that's, I was half joking when I said, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't get the billing that the other two members of the Trinity. So forgive me if I'm not being sufficiently reverent. But I guess the reason I say that is because I feel as though his role was not emphasized to me as a new believer at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard much preaching, and maybe my ears were closed, you know, but so I walked basically without fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And without a lot of power in my walk for a good probably 10 years.
I think there's a reason for that, Kim. In certain Christian circles, there's a fear of the Holy Spirit. And I will say for myself as a child, when the Pentecostals in town talked about being filled with the Spirit and falling over and being slain in the Spirit, I was terrified. And then when as I was growing up in the 70s and then subsequent decades, There was in the air this idea that a truly spirit-filled person maybe manifested the spirit by speaking in tongues. And I got more scared. So I felt inadequate as a Christian because I didn't have that experience. But then I realized, if I was really honest, I was terrified to have a God that powerful. It was okay for Jesus to die for me on the cross and for God to be the Father, to love me and be my creator. But actually to have God at work in me, changing me, that meant that suggested loss of control. And when I finally got to the point where I realized what the core issue was, it was my fear rather than anything else, I knew I needed to surrender that.
It seems, too, maybe there's more mystery around the Holy Spirit. And also, whenever there seems to be question about Pentecostalism or some other practice that we haven't experienced or don't understand, then, you know, well, if the person's merely claiming the Holy Spirit, you think, that might be suspect.
It is, but I think it's because we're threatened, because those of us who haven't had an extraordinary experience with the Holy Spirit hear other people saying that we have had one. We either can feel inferior or we feel threatened, so we have to put them down to feel better about ourselves.
Well, or you hear reports about, you know, Holy Ghost laughter and some of the other things that happen.
Right. It happened in Toronto a few years ago.
But yeah, I know people who are extremely conservative who say they went to watch it and they walked away seeing people change.
Yes, that's right.
Very skeptical, you know, really one, you know, half of their mind totally opposed to it, and yet... hard to argue with fruit.
Right, and that's why I think that we would probably do better off as a Christian body to stop judging or criticizing one another or tempting
questioning.
To questioning other people's spiritual experiences. I don't think that comes from God. Let's accept that the Holy Spirit, who gives diverse gifts, also gives diverse experiences. And what God is really concerned about is that we have this vital relationship with God, with the Holy Spirit, that is life-transforming. And for some people, that maybe it is holy laughter. I am not going to pass judgment on that. I didn't experience it, but I'm not going to pass judgment on it. But somebody else, it's going to be perhaps speaking in tongues. Again, I'm not going to pass judgment on it. But what I think is most important is that our lives are being changed and we're reflecting the fruit of the Spirit and we're utilizing the gifts of the Spirit, because that's what's emphasized in Scripture.
I just heard an echo of our Lord saying to Peter, "What is it to you?"
Yeah, what is it to you? That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Mary is listening online today at KimJeffries.com from Des Moines. Hi, Mary. Go ahead, please.
Hi. My question is asking you to talk a little bit more about what you talked about earlier, in that talking about when people are in tough situations and that struggle between feeling despair and faith, you know, not feeling that vital relationship that you know should be there, and you know it is there, but you just can't grab onto it.
Oh, Mary, thank you for your question. I appreciate your honesty and expressing what many of us have felt, that when the times are really tough, it is hard to feel close to God at times or to have any sense of God's presence. It's at those times that it's very important that we ground our faith in what Scripture teaches. That when Jesus, Paul reported that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and then in Hebrews chapter 13, 5, and nothing, that I will not never leave you nor forsake you. We trust in the promises of God when we don't feel the presence of God. And And then as we go through what we're struggling with, it's important that we continue to pray. But I, as I mentioned here in my book, and as I talk about trying to develop a relationship with God, there are times that I don't even have the energy to pray. There have been times I lay on my back in bed, and the most I can mouth is Jesus, and because I just say, help me, Jesus. And I don't feel anything at the moment. I just know where my source of help is. And so that's what I'm talking about when I talk about faith and spirit leadership, spirit living in the midst of difficult times. It's remembering where our source of help is, even if we don't feel it at the moment.
Thanks for your call, Mary. Appreciate that. So how do we do this? Let's get to some practical steps, Tim. Tim Jeffrey on the Spirit-Led Leader. What step one?
step one is being committed to developing a deeper relationship with God. And I'm not talking about making a vow or taking a stand. I'm just talking about what's in your heart. Maybe you're driving along the road, or you're home right now, or wherever you may be, and you just say, look in your heart and say, do you long for a deeper relationship with God? Do you want that? And if the answer is yes, that's the first step. And to recognize that even that longing that you have right now is a gift from God. So what I would encourage you to do is, after you acknowledge that you have this longing, is the next words out of your mouth can be, thank you. Thank you, God, that you care enough about me to put this desire in my heart. And then after that, there are some very concrete steps that can be taken. And it's not the same for everyone. They're the same collection of steps. There's scripture reading, where God speaks us through scripture. There's worship. There's fellowship with other Christians. There's Christian service. Sometimes it involves simply just being quiet, all alone in silence. It can be out in nature. It can be in a church or a cathedral. But what if you look at all these as a menu of ways that we connect with God, what I would encourage you to do is begin to pray and say, Lord, I have this longing for a deeper relationship with you. What's the next step? I see the menu. What's the next thing that would be right for me of this list? And there are lots of books out that can give you the types of things. But don't think of it as a formula. Think about a relationship as a dynamic between you and a living being.
And it's something you said earlier, too. I would think you would be encouraging people to pray to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's, you know,
absolutely,
speaking to you, however right, he chooses to do that.
Just believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking, okay? Just assume that is true. And so the prayer is, one of the prayers that has become very meaningful to me, it goes like this. It's, God, give me eyes to see what I need to see, give me courage to face the truth, and then give me strength to act on what you reveal. And so what I'm saying by that prayer is that I believe God is communicating to me all the time, but sometimes because I'm afraid or because I'm preoccupied, I just don't want to see what I want to see. So I pray, part of connecting with the Spirit is saying, God, give me eyes to see, but I'm just acknowledging up front that I might be terrified when I actually see it. So I also need courage. And then when I actually can face it, I'm also going to need strength to act it out. This kind of prayer assumes, first of all, that God is for me, for us. He loves us, and he's actively working to help us do the things he's called us to do. When I rest in that kind of assurance, I have so much power from the very beginning. And then I can move into the specific things that God might want to do in my life as a result.
Mm. Tim Jeffrion is our guest, and he's also a spiritual coach. We'll talk about his spiritual coaching, which basically, you've just been on the receiving end a little bit. We'll talk about it in more detail after a short break. It's 1:47. You're listening to Along the Way. I'm Kim Jeffries. I'm a student in the ministry program and the degree completion aspect here at Northwestern College, the Focus program. And I want to share this with our guest, Tim Jeffrion, because we're talking about the leading of the Holy Spirit as leaders. And just as for us as Christians, the role of the Holy Spirit in leading us. And Tim, we had one of our original assignments when we first got together in our Intro to Christianity class was to interview Christian leaders about what a person must do to come to maturity in their Christian faith. And so we all, there were a dozen of us in the class, and we just spoke with pastors and different people that, you know, were very well grounded in faith. And we came together then as a class and brainstormed our ideas on the blackboard. And we had 60 things up there, and a lot of them were what you're talking about. Go to church, get a prayer partner, read the scripture every day, pray, you know, all these things. And Professor Muska was our professor for this course, and you know, he kept pressing us, there's something missing here, there's something missing, and we were like, what? Nobody had mentioned, not one person that any of us interviewed had mentioned the role of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5. And I thought, you know, that's another reason why I say he gets short shrift. We just don't acknowledge that that's our power source.
That's right.
That what all he can do for us and longs to do for us.
That's right.
So as we're talking about this, and here's our number, 1-800-571-2755. Off the air you just said, you know, you don't want to give people a formula. And I agree. That's not a method, you know, because that was our next question. Oh, okay, so how do we tell people to do that? And he just looked at us, you know, but it's like, there's your ministry. You know, but for a person that is understanding that perhaps they do need this closer relationship with God, that perhaps may have a key in the Holy Spirit, what next?
Again, I want to emphasize the concept of journey. That it was a book that was very influential in my life as a child called The Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh, absolutely.
But there was this image, a metaphor of a journey that we're on. And the more that we can learn about the nature of the journey, the less we're going to be distracted by things that can distract us, whether they're good things or sinful things. There are many things in life that distract us away from our primary thing. And the primary thing is a loving relationship with God. That's what we were created for. And as we keep coming back to the primary thing, then as our love for God can grow, because we feel like we're being nurtured by God, and we are experiencing nurture of God in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, so it's a multidimensional sort of way, then that love can flow out to other people, into every other area of our life. That's how we get integrated. And so often we try to piecemeal or put our lives, our spiritual lives together piecemeal by just doing a list of things. And at the end of the week, we can look back at our checklist and we can see all the things we did and think, oh, I guess I have a pretty good spiritual life. And I would say for some of our hearers, maybe they need to throw out the checklist altogether and just sit there quietly and pour out their heart to God and say, God, can we start from scratch here? I know Jesus is my Savior. That I know that's the starting place. And now what? How can I love you more? Would you show me how to love you more? One of the very influential prayers in my life early on in my Christian life was a prayer asking God to help me believe that he loved me. Because even though I was a Christian, I'd been baptized, all of a sudden I realized I don't know that God loves me. And I knew the teaching, but I didn't believe it inside of me. And that's when I first learned as a teenager I could simply ask God about that. I could say, God, would you show me somehow in a way I could believe that you love me? And he did. And my life now has been full of those experiences, very hard, difficult experiences alongside of those. So I'm not saying it makes our life easier, takes away our problems, far from it. But it's about that connection to God. Ask God for what you want. Start with that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think I remember reading an article recently. Someone said as a young Christian, they were told keep a prayer list of requests or things to pray for. And he said about 5 years in, he woke up one morning and it was like the oppression of the list was such that he burned it.
And that can happen.
You know? And then started having his real relationship with God, because it was, you know, the rule was actually keeping him from relating more closely. Back to the phones we go. Denise is listening on KNWC Sioux Falls. Hi, Denise. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yes. I know that when I, at first I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit either. And then actually at work there were some people who sat around the table and they discussed Jesus and everything. And I was so, I just wanted to be like them. So I asked, you know, what do they do? And she said, just come and see. And then I went to, it was like a prayer meeting. And then afterwards she asked if I'd like to be, you know, prayed over for the Holy Spirit. And then I said, sure. And then I received the baptism of tongues. And then it was like shortly after that, I just became so much, well, I just started getting to scripture and it just came alive to me. It was like, wow. And I just saw everything so much more beautiful, not, like, you know, when someone would teach scripture or something, I feel like they were talking to me, actually they weren't. It was just the Holy Spirit showing me how much God had loved me and all that. And then I actually went on to a ministry. It was National Evangelization Team, and we went around 150 Catholic youth sharing Jesus to anywhere from New York to, you know, we went all over, and then we went into Australia too and Canada. So it was really an experience, and every day it just seemed like if I took my prayer time and, you know, really was faithful to that, I could sense more of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate you sharing that story with us. Let's quickly, while we have just a few minutes remaining, let's go back to the phones. Barbara is listening on KFNW. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I was wondering how the verse 1:9 of Colossians, you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
Barbara, is that it? How?
How that fits in, and then, you know, I did have an experience like Kim did too. I didn't know if I was saved, and I kept asking, and I did have an experience where God showed me. It was like this gentle knowledge coming to me from outside. It was not me trying to believe. You know, Luke 15, when this pastor was talking about, an evangelist was talking about the father welcoming home the prodigal son.
Sure.
And I wanted to go, my first prayer, they said, I wanted to go hug God. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, realized, okay, Jesus is the way, so that makes sense, you know. And it was a done deal. Jesus had died in the past. He went from there to is Isaiah 44:22 or something like that, where it talks about return to me, for I have redeemed you. You know, so it was a done deal 2,000 years ago or whatever, and so Jesus was the way, and it wasn't just a religious thing. But, you know, and I wasn't looking for God's love. I wanted to know for sure if I was saved.
Okay,
so,
well, Barbara, we just have a minute, so I'm going to let Tim respond
to
Colossians 1:9. Thanks for your call.
Well, again, filling us with a deeper knowledge and understanding of Christ and of God's will for our lives is what the Holy Spirit does. Knowledge is about a relationship, and knowledge is about truth, about life, and about perspective. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, and it's a lifelong journey. And in order to experience that, so we have one caller who talks about a transforming experience with the Holy Spirit, and that's been the experience of many people. But for many others, there's been a quieter type of growth in their relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that too is how God can work that way as well. The important thing is that we are daily seeking a connection with God, seeking experience of a connection to God, but not dependent upon the experience, but continue to seek in faith that God is there, God is active, and that in every way possible we want our minds and our hearts and our spirits to be connected. And let me add this one other thing, Kim, so we don't get too imbalanced, and that is, on the other side of letting go of the list is also developing spiritual disciplines. And one of the things I write about in the book is a whole chapter just on spiritual disciplines, because I've discovered in my own life tremendous value from actually adding things, not as a list, but as a new ways of cultivating ways to connect with God that kind of opened up new ways of thinking and being and relating to God that have been very powerful for me, too.
Absolutely. Just like our physical muscles, we have spiritual muscles we can build.
That's right. Some people don't even know they have some.
Well, certain of them are atrophied. Tim, thanks so much for joining us, giving us so much of your time today. Appreciate
my pleasure.
We'll link the book on our website at kimjeffries.com so you can learn more and pick up a copy from our bookstore. Tim Jeffreon's The Spirit-Led Leader. Well, that's about it for us today, and a beautiful thought for us to end on as we return to our verses that we began with today from Matthew 9:2 and Matthew 9:22. The words of our Lord, Matthew 9:2, where he said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And Matthew 9:22, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." If we but have the courage to follow Jesus and respond to his actions in our lives, then we are along the way to the cross. And from the cross, to share that faith with others, too, as we are commanded to do. Thanks so much for listening today. We do appreciate it. I'm Kim Jeffries. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I.